Welcome to the Step-by-Step Wedding Prep Podcast by Wedding Connections of the Hudson Valley, the weekly show that makes wedding planning fun again. Here, you'll go from planning panic, that constant sense of feeling overwhelmed, stressed out, and needing to please those around you, to being in control again, feeling confident, encouraged, and calm in planning the day you've always dreamed of. From interviews with industry experts to firsthand planning tips and more, you'll learn ways to make wedding planning easy, affordable, and as stress-free as possible. Now here's your host, Felicia Zammit McMahon.
Hello, and welcome back to the show, where we teach you everything you need to know to plan your wedding like a pro. This is episode number 16, and I'm coming at you every Wednesday answering the most commonly asked questions couples have when it comes to planning their wedding, and bringing you expert advice from the most amazing wedding professionals in the industry. If you're a new listener today, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for spending some of your day with me. If wedding planning has ever made you feel overwhelmed, stressed, clueless, wondering what to do when, then you're definitely in the right place. Having been in your shoes myself, my goal with this podcast is to give you all the easy-to-follow tools, advice, and educational tips you need so you could plan your wedding easier and quicker and more confidently in knowing you're making right decisions. So definitely make sure you go through all our past episodes and subscribe to the show so you don't miss out on anything. Today, we're going to be talking about budget. Now, if you're like most couples planning a wedding, you're probably very concerned about how much you're spending and what you're spending it on. And I actually chuckle to myself a little bit whenever I hear a couple say to a vendor that they're on a budget. And it's probably the number one thing vendors hear. But the thing is, every couple's on a budget, right? So it's the rare few that aren't. So today I want to start with a very personal story. I mentioned in my intro show why I'm so passionate about teaching couples, and it's because of an incident that happened to me, which was caused by sticker shock that almost sent me to the hospital. I attended my first wedding expo, and later that day I was going through all my information and realized that our wedding was going to cost us almost double what we thought we wanted to spend. Now, this was entirely our fault because we didn't do any research ahead of time. We just pulled an arbitrary number out of thin air and was like, yeah, that sounds good. Let's go with that, which is the absolute wrong way to plan your budget. You have to do your research ahead of time to get an idea of what services cost. Don't just choose a random number like we did, because what happened to me could happen to you. So anyway, when I realized we were totally screwed and needed to rethink our budget altogether, I felt so defeated. I felt like we lost before we even began. And so I put everything away to come back to it with fresh eyes at another time. I ate dinner, I went about my night, and then I started having massive chest pains and was having trouble breathing. I had never felt anything like that before, and I seriously thought I was having a heart attack. I was very close to calling 911, but didn't because I didn't want to acknowledge that was happening. So after a few hours, I was able to calm down and get to sleep. But when I went to my doctor, she said that all the anxiety and stress caused that to happen. Now, there are certain things you need to really invest in, photo and video being one for sure, your entertainment, your food, your venue, all things you need to dedicate a good portion of your budget to, because those are the items that make your wedding memorable for you and for your guest. You know, you want a beautiful location. You want great, amazing, delicious food. You want your guests to have a great time, and you want your photos and videos to be perfect because they're going to last a lifetime. So yes, plan to allocate most of your budget to those four things. However, there are eight areas where you need to be a little bit more cautious of because you could end up spending more money than you actually need to. Now, some people call what I'm about to talk about as money wasters, but I don't see it that way at all, because if it's something that's important to you, then it's not a waste of money. You can absolutely have all the things I'm about to mention at your wedding. I just want you to make sure you have the money for them and that the money you spend on them isn't going to take away from something you really need. Now, the best way to figure this out is to make two lists. On one list, that's going to be your must-have list. So this is everything you need to have at your wedding, which, like I mentioned, is going to include your venue, your food, your entertainment, photo and video, and whatever else you like to put on that list. The next list is your want list, or the things you might like to indulge in if you have a little extra left in your budget. And again, if anything on this list is something you really, really want, move it to your first list and just budget for it accordingly. So this want list is going to include much of what I'm about to mention. And once you check off all the items on your need list, and if you have money left over, you could start checking things off your want list. So let's begin with the first area where you could be overspending, and that's by having too large a bridal party and too large a guest list. Now let me start with the guest list, because that's the easiest and most obvious one to cut back on. Now it goes without saying that more guests equal more money, and this is for a variety of reasons. The more guests you have, the larger the venue you need, and larger venues can oftentimes equal more money. More guests mean more food, so that's easily $75 to $125 per person, if not more. More guests mean more invites, more favors, a bigger cake, more thank you cards, more, okay? So make sure you're inviting only those you care about the most. Not because you feel obligated to invite them, not because you work with them and you think it may cause hard feelings, not because they're a family member you haven't seen in 20 years, and not because they're the cousin of your mom's best friend that you met at the grocery store once. You see where I'm going with this? And I'll be talking more about how to come up with your guest list in a future episode, because there's way too much to talk about right now. Now, as for your bridal party, it's very easy to automatically want all your friends to be in it. I mean, you've shared so many fun times with them, they've been with you through good times and bad, and you want them by your side. However, this could mean you'll end up with a huge bridal party and end up spending way more on gifts for them. Not to mention spending more time trying to get everyone together for events and trying to get them all on the same page in terms of what they're going to wear and what they're going to look like on the day of your wedding. Not to mention, more people can sometimes mean more drama too. So think very carefully about who you ask to be in your bridal party. If you're inviting them because you feel like you have to, or because you want even sides, or because you don't want anyone to feel left out, then you're asking them for the wrong reason. I go into detail on this in episode 5, which I'll link in the show notes, where I talk about the 5 things your bridal party wants but will never ask for. Now, this leads into the second area of my list where you could be overspending, and that's on bridal swag and photo props. So here, I'm talking about anything with bride-to-be or bridesmaid or anything like that written on it. Anything with your name and a wedding date printed on it, like napkins, and even things like robes for your bridesmaids to wear while getting ready. Now, I know these are all very nice and very cute, but in my opinion, they're not a very good investment because they're one and done items. The best thing I can relate it to is like when you're turning sweet 16 or when you graduated. That stuff is relevant for like a hot second, and then you're left with it for years down the line wondering what you're going to do with it because it doesn't hold the same significance as it once did. Plus, think of the recipient. If they receive a shirt or a bag or a hat that says bridesmaid on it, what's the likelihood they're going to actually use that item again? Same with you. If you have a bag or a bracelet or anything that says bride on it, are you actually going to use it once you're married? personalized napkins, to me, are like literal dollars in the trash, because once you wipe your mouth with it, it's going in the trash. So no one cares what's printed on your napkins. You know, they just want a napkin to do the job. And, you know, when we talk about robes, they're nice for a photo op. And yes, they can be used again. But is every one of your girls going to want to wear it? And how many photos are you actually going to be getting with them wearing their robes? So you have to ask yourself, is the money worth it? And maybe it is. And if so, great, go for it. But again, weigh your wants versus your needs. So we're moving on to the third item on my list, which are elaborate invites and programs. Now, these are a great way for you to show off your personality and your creative side, but you do need to be mindful and not go overboard. So if your envelopes are overstuffed, if they're irregularly shaped invites, if they're invites with wax seals, they all cost more to create and they all cost more to send. Plus, like I mentioned in my last point, think about what most people do with them. They're kept for a while, then after your wedding, they throw them out. Now, invites are a great way for your guests to get a feel for what your wedding will be like and what the theming will be like. But you can still get really beautiful invites printed without spending a fortune doing so. Now, wedding programs are just simply going to get tossed. You may have a few people that keep them, but for the most part, they're just going to get tossed after the fact. So my suggestion would be to put your wedding program on your wedding website ahead of time. This way people can see it and go back to it later if they want to. So moving on, fancy table settings, centerpieces, and chairs are next on my list. Now look, I know you want your reception space to look absolutely beautiful, and trust me, it definitely will. But when you start adding fancy table linens or charger plates or decorative silverware or glassware or even fancy shivari chairs or lounge areas, you're just adding dollars. No one is going to remember what types of plates their food was served on or what the tablecloth looked like or what type of chair they sat in. But what they will remember is the food. So my advice to you is if you take the money you would have spent on all that and reinvest it back in the food, it's going to make a bigger impact. Now, when it comes to centerpieces, depending on where you book, sometimes they're included in your package. And the same idea applies here. No one is going to remember what your centerpieces look like, so there's really no need in upgrading them to something bigger or more expensive. And honestly, you want smaller, lower centerpieces anyway, because this way people can see each other across the table. Now, that being said, again, if this is something that's really important to you, then it's not a waste of money. You just need to be able to budget for it appropriately. So the next item is overly decorated cakes with fancy fillings or flavors and fancy cake toppers, and even some additional food upgrades. So yes, I did just mention people are going to remember the food. But the cake, I find, is a little tricky because as opposed to food, where your guests have several options to choose from throughout the night, with your cake, they may have only one to three flavors to choose from. So before you choose a cake filling and cake flavor, think about your guest first. My thought is always going to be to keep it as neutral and as pleasing as possible to as many people as possible. Now, of course, you're going to have those guests who don't want cake at all. They don't like cake or they can't eat cake. But for the rest, keep flavors and fillings to that which you think the majority will like. So simple chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, even maybe lemon. But don't get too crazy here. The same with the way it's decorated. Cutting your cake is a must-have photo op, and everybody wants to see what the cake looks like. But decorations can get really expensive, mostly because of the time it takes to do all the decorating and all the materials used for it. Also keep in mind, too, that your cake is not always front and center. Sometimes it's off in a corner of the room, or maybe it's wheeled out right before cutting. So it's not going to be viewed for a long time before it's cut into. So this is an area that you want to, again, weigh your needs versus wants. You know, many couples do a cake topper as well, which is fine. But if the cake topper is something that you can display, I say go for it. If it's something that's just going to be a one and done item for a photo, I'd forgo it and maybe just put like flowers on top of your cake instead. Food upgrades are really appealing, but remember too that most of the traditional packages already offer some of the most popular items guests like. And also be aware that if you hire an outside caterer, the more wait staff you have, the more you pay and the more people you need to tip. Okay, so I'm going to pause here for a second and check in with you. How are you feeling? Is your budget and ideas for how you invest your money starting to get a little clearer now? I really, really hope so. So to recap what we covered in terms of where to watch your spending, we talked about large bridal parties and guest lists. We talked about bridal swag and bridal photo props. We talked about elaborate invites and programs. We talked about fancy table settings, centerpieces, and chairs. And we talked about overly decorated cakes with complicated fillings and flavors, and as well as some food upgrades. So now we're going to be moving on. And we're going to be talking about wedding favors. Many, many couples today are foregoing favors altogether or making a donation to their favorite charity instead, because favors, unless they're inexpensive or something really practical, can cost you a fortune. So let's say you're planning on spending $3 to $4 per favor. Well, if you're having a small wedding, $3 to $4 per favor may not seem that bad. But when you multiply that by, say, 150 guests, that equals $450 to $600. So now, is that $3 to $4 favor worth it? Can you put that money towards something else, maybe like videography, or maybe towards your honeymoon? You know, is the favor you're spending that money on something your guests are going to really enjoy and save? And my thoughts on favors is this. If you really want to have them, keep them as inexpensive as possible and make them edible. Edible favors never go to waste. You might remember me saying a few episodes back that I had homemade fudge as my favors. My mom makes the best fudge, and she's even won a ton of blue ribbons at our county fair. So for us, it was an absolute no-brainer to have fudge favors, and every single box was taken at the end of the night. Now, you can search high and low for the perfect favor, but the sad reality is some guests just leave them on the table at the end of the night because they just don't want it. Now, I would hate for you to spend money on something that you think your guests are going to love and then at the end of the night have to go around picking up all the ones that weren't taken, because that's money that you could have spent on something that you really, really wanted. All right, we're almost towards the end. So the next on my list is expensive designer shoes and dresses. Many, many brides see their wedding as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for them to dress as elegantly and as beautifully as possible. And I was one of those brides. You know, I'm a jeans, sneakers, and baseball hat kind of girl. If you run into me on the street or in a store, that's what I'm wearing. I don't normally get dressed up unless, of course, I'm going to a wedding. But on my wedding day, I went all out. I wanted to look my most beautiful, elegant self. I wanted people to say, wow, she cleans up nice. But I was also practical about it. I knew I wanted heels, but I also knew no one was going to see them. So yeah, I could have spent $500 or more on designer shoes, but it wasn't important to me. The same with my dress. And, you know, wedding dresses were the main reason why I went into the wedding industry. Since I was a real small girl, I was fascinated by wedding dresses because I knew it was a special honor to wear one. I studied fashion design in college and even interned at a couture bridal salon in London my junior year abroad. I love wedding gowns, period. But I wasn't about to spend thousands and thousands of dollars on a dress I was going to wear for maybe 12 hours and then have it preserved and put in a box forever. Again, if this is important to you, move it to the must-have list and budget for it. But that means that you may have to skimp somewhere else if you want this. And if you're okay with that, that's fine. If you're not okay with that, try finding cheaper alternatives. Okay, you made it this far. We're at the end. So last but not least are envelope boxes and guest books. In episode 9, which I'll also put in the show notes, I talk about 14 different ways to make your wedding unique and personal. And these items are a great place to do that. Now, I'm always in favor of making your envelope box because if you buy it at the store, it could cost you upwards of $60, and you could easily make one for $10 to $15. And honestly, for the purpose it serves, there's no reason why you have to spend that much for one at the store. Same with your guest book. With this, I recommend you have a guest book that you can display in your home. So most guest books are literally just a book that people sign. Then what do you do with it? You know, do you ever look at it again? And I always wonder, you know, wouldn't it be nice to have something you can see or use every day? So we're a baseball loving couple. And so we had everyone sign a Louisville Slugger baseball bat that had our names and date engraved in it. And now we display that in our guest room. So it's hung up on our wall every day. We see it every day and it serves a practical purpose. So those are my opinions on some of the biggest areas of your wedding where you could be overspending. And again, none of them are a waste if you really want them. But if you're wanting any of those items just for a pretty picture or because you think it's what you're supposed to do, then you might want to reconsider. Now, I'm curious, if any of you listening are already married, what was something you purchased that later on thought wasn't worth it? If you're getting married, have you bought anything recently that gave you buyer's remorse? I'd love to hear your stories. So feel free to leave a comment over on our Instagram at SBS Wedding Prep or WedConnectHV. As always, if you know someone who could really benefit hearing today's show, please share it with them. And if you've been a listener for a while, and if this show is really helping you tackle that overwhelming planning learning curve, please leave a comment and let others know how it's been helping you. As a reminder, if you have a topic or question you'd like covered on the show, definitely send it our way. You could find us on Instagram and Facebook at SBS Wedding Prep. And if you're a Hudson Valley bride or groom, join us over at Wedding Connections of the Hudson Valley at weddingconnectionshv.com. I'll be back next week with even more amazing wedding planning tips and advice. So until then, happy planning.